بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد. Today we're going to talk about one other supposed shart of nikah. Some of the ulama, they said that one other shart, meaning the sixth shart of nikah, is that the male and the female are equivalent, if you like. They are acceptable for each other from a social perspective. Okay? Now this is not a shart according to the correct opinion. What do I mean by they're equivalent or they're acceptable from a social perspective? What these ulama are trying to say, for example, now this is something that we have to understand very clearly, so pay attention to, okay? What these ulama are saying, many ulama have said this throughout history, is that, for example, the Arabs can only marry Arabs, and non-Arabs can only marry non-Arabs. Likewise, a person of a social status can only marry within that social status, okay? They said that this was a shart, a condition for marriage. The correct opinion is that it is not a precondition for marriage, but it is allowed to be taken into account. Okay? You can take this into account, but it's not a prerequisite. So some ulama said an Arab cannot marry a non-Arab. Some ulama said this. It is not allowed for an Arab to marry a non-Arab. Okay? But the correct opinion of the majority is that this is a condition that goes back to the father if he wants to take it into account or not, and the girl. Okay? Whether they want to take it into account or not, and some ulama even went wider and said any person in the girl's family, any male in the girl's family, because it affects the whole family. Remember, in Islam, the marriage is not between the man and the girl, it is between two families, really. Okay, two families come together. So some ulama, for example, the Hanbalis, they say, any man in the girl's family, if he objects to that other, to the boy's family, or vice versa, the girl's family. If any man in the girl's family objects to the boy's family, or the boy himself, concerning this principle, the kafa'a, the equivalent principle, then the marriage will not go through. The correct opinion, like we said, is that it's not a shart, it's not a precondition, but it is something that should be taken or can be taken into account depending on the girl and the wali. Okay? Now what are the things that are socially acceptable? What are these things that we're talking about? There are five things. Okay? Firstly, religion. So you're equivalent or acceptable in religion. Obviously, first and foremost, it means Muslims only marry Muslims, right? And non-Muslims marry non-Muslims. The only exception was that we talked about that Muslim men marry Christian and Jewish women. However, specific detail, what we mean is that a person who is more religiously inclined should look for a girl who is likewise more religiously inclined. Okay? He should not go down or below himself in this thing. Okay? And this by ijma' is something that should be taken into account. That you always look above or ahead of you in religion. You want to marry someone that is more religious than you. Okay? So if a person is interested, for example, in studying knowledge, he should also find a wife who is interested in that field. Okay? If a person is interested in more than just praying five times a day, or whatever, he should look for a person who is likewise more engrossed in ibadah and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing that you take into account when it comes to this equivalent thing, we call it in Arabic kafa'a. In Arabic it's called kafa'a. The first of these five things is religion. So you look for someone who is either equivalent to you or above you in religious status. Okay? The second thing that is taken into account is freedom. Meaning obviously slaves versus free men. This doesn't exist anymore, but for your information's sake, a man cannot marry a slave girl. A man cannot marry a slave girl unless he cannot find a wife and he is fearful of falling into zina. The Quran specifically mentions these two conditions. If he cannot find a wife for a long period of time and he is fearful of falling into zina, then and only then can he go below himself and marry a slave girl. What does it mean, marry a slave girl? Do you marry your own slave girl? No, but if she's your slave girl. You don't marry your slave girl in this manner. What I mean is you marry another person's slave. This is allowed in Islam. Another person has a slave, you can marry that slave. Okay, but the children will be, no. If you marry a slave girl, this is not your slave, that's the whole point we're talking about. Your slave, you don't need to marry your slave, you can have intercourse with her anytime you want. She is yours. You don't need to marry her. Okay? Another person's slave, you can marry her. With the permission of the slave owner, obviously. The slave owner becomes the wali of the slave. So you can only marry her when two conditions are met. Firstly, you cannot find a wife for a long time. Secondly, you are fearful of falling into zina. When you do marry her, then she is still that person's slave. She's not your slave. Okay? So the children will be belonging to him as slaves. Okay? This is why they're so strict that you should not marry slave girls. Not your own slave girls. Don't get mixed up now. Someone else's. It's a different story. Okay? Likewise, suppose there's a man and a woman. A slave man can marry a slave woman. Okay, this is also allowed. A slave man can marry a slave woman if they're both masters agree. Suppose the woman becomes freed. the woman becomes free, she is now above the status of the slave. Okay? So she has the right Islamically to annul the marriage contract, which is usually not given to the woman. But because she has made a difference now in her status, social status, she's going to remain married to a slave if she remains in this manner. So Islam has given her that right to annul the marriage contract. Okay? So, Jazakallah khair. So this is just a side point. It's not really necessary in our times because there's no such thing as slavery, alhamdulillah. But just a side point that ulama have also said by ijma' you should look at freedom and slavery also when it comes to kafa'a. Okay? A free man should only marry a free man and a slave should only marry a slave. Now I'm not saying that if a person has a slave or theoretically had a slave, then it is very rewarding if he frees her and marries her. This is very rewarding. He gets double reward. If he marries his own slave, we're talking about marrying other people's slaves. Okay? We don't have to worry about that, doesn't exist anymore. The third thing that kafa'a is taken into account is trade or profession. Okay? Now what do I mean by profession? Line of work, skill. So a man who is a businessman, the wali who is a businessman, should find a groom who is likewise of a respectable field. Not a trash collector, for example. Okay? Or a car mechanic. Something which the society needs, but they don't really look up to that much. Okay? And this is something throughout history, by the way, there are certain professions that are looked down upon, certain professions are looked up upon. Okay? Doctors throughout history have always occupied a high status. Okay? So, once again, remember, all of these things, they come after religion, right? But if a father or a girl takes these factors into account after religion, this is allowed in Islam. This is allowed to take this into account. Okay? So the third thing is the line of work. So both the, when we say the girl's line of work, we mean the wali's line of work. The girl shouldn't have a line of work, I mean, theoretically, technically. But the wali's line of work and the groom's line of work should be taken into account. That person of a respectable status can look at another male or a groom of a respectable status. The fourth thing is money. Okay? Mal, money. That a girl that is coming from a very rich family, okay, she is allowed to, in this concept of kafa'a, look at a boy who is also coming from a rich family or he has money with him. Okay? Now, profession and money are not necessarily simultaneous. Many times they are, but not necessarily. Okay? A person, for example, could be studying in med school, or he is a doctor, but for some reason he's not making a lot of money. I mean, there's two different things. Okay? In general, in our times it comes together, but in the past, a profession or a skill was a lifelong thing, and money would come and go. I mean, it's not related to the profession. So this is the fourth thing. The fifth thing is, in Arabic it's called a nasab, but in English it doesn't exist anymore, but it's like family status, okay? Lineage, family status, okay? So for example, a person who comes from a royal family, if you like, we'll also look at a person who comes from a royal family, okay? Now we have to take all of this into perspective. We are not saying that, you know, you should or you must look at these factors. We are saying that a person who has taken into account religion is allowed to look at the rest of these factors. It's up to him. It is not haram to. Many people that have a concept in their mind that you must only look at religion. No. No, all of the books of fiqh discuss this. The only difference is it a shart or not? Is it a shart? Some ulama said if a non-Arab proposes to an Arab, he will never be accepted. His marriage is not going to be accepted. This is what some ulama said. We say no, this is not correct. This is not correct. It's not a shart. It goes back to the wali and the girl. And obviously the groom. I mean, we're looking at it from both perspectives here. If they all agree to go up or go down, depending on which perspective you look at, okay, in any of these five things, it's up to them, the marriage contract is valid. But if the wali disagrees based on this, then his disagreement is valid. The reason I say this is because many people have a presumption in their mind that if a pious man proposes, okay, and the father rejects him based on race or culture or family background, but he wants to find a pious groom, right? Many people think that this is un-Islamic. No, this is not un-Islamic. This is not un-Islamic. The father has every right to say no based on family status, based on race, based on a host of other factors that we talked about here. Money and wealth is a factor that you look at, but you look at this after religion. The problem arises in our times, you find very few people with this mentality. What you do find is that they don't care about religion and they're only concerned with profession and money and family lineage and all of this. This is the problem. But we're talking about from a pure Islamic point of view. If a wali takes into account the religious status of a person, okay, and then he looks at these other four factors, this is allowed. Obviously the second factor, that of being free or slave, doesn't take into account. So there are other three factors, okay, lineage or family status and money and profession. This is allowed to look at. There is no sin or harm. This isn't racism. Racism means to think that one group of people is inherently superior to another group. This isn't racism. This means that because of family, for example, in many cultures, they're not going to agree that their daughter marries into another culture. This isn't racism. It doesn't matter what culture you look at, they're not going to let their daughters marry into another culture. They only want their daughters to marry within their own culture. Okay? This is not racism. Racism thinks is that when you think your culture is superior to the other culture. Okay? The two are not necessarily together. A nasab, lineage. Because your lineage obviously is going to be dependent on, you know, who your father and which culture your father is from. Okay? We talked about this. This is not what we're talking about. This is not to do with kafa'a. Kafa'a is another thing. What proof do we have? About concerning what? All the ulama set this category as far as I know. The only difference is that is it a shalt or not. To prove that it's not a shalt is very easy. Okay? Many of the sahaba, they married below their status or above their status. That's easy. Bilal married amongst the Ansar. Okay? Bilal was a Habashi Abyssinian, and they were considered the lowest skill at that time. Okay, even that... This